Truth or dare. Lou. Halfway through our return to Le Melancolique, Celie fell asleep on her horse. Jean-Luc, who'd succumbed to a stupor hours ago, hadn't been able to catch her in time, and she'd plummeted face first into the mud, bloodying her nose in the process. We'd quickly agreed a rest stop was necessary. Jean-Luc had procured two rooms at the next inn, sneaking us in a back door under cover of darkness. "I'll be back with food," he'd promised. Though smoke still obscured the night sky, it must have been between midnight and dawn. We'd made excellent time, all things considered, in and out of Chateau Le Blanc in just over an hour. Still, few inns served supper at 3 in the morning. I suspected the sight of Jean-Luc's blue coat, however, might have helped the innkeeper forget the aberrant hour. Coco, Celie, and I claimed one of the rooms for ourselves while we waited, and Reed and Beau disappeared into the one next door. Almost immediately, Celie collapsed face down on the hay-filled mattress, her breath deepening and her mouth falling open. The trickle of drool on her pillow painted her the quintessential gentlewoman. Coco and I each tugged a boot from her foot. "I don't think I can make it to supper," Coco said, hiding a yawn behind her hand. My stomach growled audibly. "I can. Save me some food, will you?" I grinned as she flopped onto the bed beside Celie. It was a tight fit. Neither of them seemed to notice. "Will do." Jean-Luc edged the door open a few moments later, carrying a tray of dried figs, brioche, and conti. From the silver tureen at its center, the heavenly scent of beef stew drifted outward, curling around my nose. I immediately began to salivate, but he stopped short when he saw Coco and Celie. Lifting a finger to my lips, I plucked the fruit, bread, and cheese from the tray and left it on the table beside the bed. I motioned him back into the hallway, hesitating for only a second before breaking off a piece of cheese. I loved cheese. "They're exhausted." Closing the door behind me, I popped the morsel into my mouth and nearly moaned. "They can eat when they wake." Though clearly irritated at the prospect of dining with me and not Celie, Jean-Luc nodded and led me into the men's room. Beau had lit a candelabra on the dressing table, and it cast soft, ambient light over the sparse furnishings, a single bed, as in our room, and a porcelain bowl for washing. The entire place had a worn yet welcoming atmosphere, probably aided by the colorful quilt on the bed and warm wooden floors. "The girls are asleep," Jean-Luc grunted, kicking the door shut. "Should I be insulted?" I pirouetted onto the bed, landing dramatically across Beau's lap. He sat with his back against the headboard and his legs stretched out in front of him, taking up more than his fair share of space. Snorting, he shoved me off the bed. "Yes." Unperturbed, I crossed the room to investigate the contents of the tureen, but Jean-Luc knocked my hand aside. Ladling it into cracked wooden bowls, he jerked his chin behind him. "Go wash, for the love of God. Your hands are filthy." Unfortunately, Reed stood beside the washbowl. He scowled as I approached, shifting subtly so as not to touch me. When I accidentally splashed him with water, he stalked to the other side of the room. "If we leave after breakfast, we'll reach Le Melancolique this afternoon," I said to no one in particular. Jittery energy coursed through me as I accepted my stew, and I inhaled it greedily, standing over the basin like a rat, to stop from filling the dead air between us. If this was the inner sanctum of masculinity, I wanted no part of it. My eyes slid to Reed. Well, I wanted little part of it. We ate in silence until none of the stew remained. Then a light knock sounded on the door.
"Captain Toussaint?"
A thin, unfamiliar voice asked. Jean-Luc's eyes flew wide, and he wheeled to face us, mouthing, "The innkeeper."
"My humblest apologies, but might I enter for just a moment? My wife scolded me for my appalling lack of manners below, and she's quite right. I have a bottle of whiskey as recompense. We distill it here with my brother's own wheat."
His voice rose with pride.
"And I'd be delighted to pour you a drink personally."
Jean-Luc cleared his throat.
Just leave it at the door?"
It sounded like a question.
"Oh."
It was a gift to this innkeeper, surely, to pack so much disappointment into one small word.
"Oh, well, yes, quite right. How rude of me. It is very late, of course, and I'm sure you need your rest. My humblest apologies," he said again.
The bottle plunked against the door.
"Good night, then, Captain."
His footsteps didn't recede.
I could almost picture him hovering in the corridor beyond, perhaps leaning an ear against the wood, hoping the great captain would pity him and change his mind. Reed and I exchanged an anxious glance. As if on cue, Jean-Luc groaned quietly.
Monsieur Laurent.
He shot us an apologetic look before hastily stacking our bowls and chucking them behind the wash basin. My eyes narrowed in disbelief. Surely he couldn't mean to...
I'd love a drink. Please come in.
Reed, Beau, and I could do nothing but scramble for hiding places, except the room held very little. As the smallest of the three, I dove beneath the bed. As the stupidest, Beau crouched behind the dressing table in plain sight, and Reed, unable to find another spot, not at all small, but perhaps stupider than even Beau, rolled under the bed after me, snaking an arm around my waist to prevent me from spilling out the other side. The movement squashed my face against his chest, and I reared back, clutching his collar furiously.
What the hell is wrong with you?
He rolled to his back, glaring at me, as Monsieur Laurent strode into the room.
Oh, you can't imagine how pleased Madame Laurent will be, Captain, to know you're tasting our whiskey. She'll be ever so pleased. Thank you, thank you.
Reed's enormous body blocked my view of the room. So slowly, carefully, I leaned over his chest, peering out from across his shoulder. He held very still. He might have even stopped breathing. Monsieur Laurent was a tall, reedy fellow in his night clothes and slippers, and he fussed with two tumblers at the dressing table. Jean-Luc shifted covertly to hide Beau.
I am honored to taste it, monsieur. Thank you again for providing us lodging at such an untimely hour. My companion sleeps in the next room, he added,
accepting the proffered glass of amber liquid. He sipped it quickly.
I must say...
Monsieur Laurent sampled his own glass, leaning against the table with the air of a man getting comfortable.
I was quite shocked to see you on my doorstep, Captain.
He chuckled.
Well, I don't have to tell you, do I? Apologies again for the less than warm welcome. One can never be too safe these days. The witches are getting bolder, and they're thick in these parts. You should hear the ghastly sounds of the forest at night.
Shuddering, he readjusted his nightcap, revealing a high, balding forehead. Despite his casual tone, beads of nervous sweat gleamed there. He feared Jean-Luc. No, my eyes narrowed shrewdly. He feared Jean's blue coat.
Anyway, I assumed most chasseurs would be in Caesarine with the conclave.
He took another hearty drink of whiskey.
I assume you heard news of the trials?
Jean-Luc, who to my knowledge hadn't heard news of any such thing, nodded and emptied his glass.
I'm forbidden to speak on such matters.
Oh, of course, of course. Very good of you, sir.
When Monsieur Laurent moved to refill his glass, Jean-Luc shook his head, and the innkeeper's expression fell. He recovered from his disappointment almost immediately, however, perhaps a touch relieved, and downed the rest of his whiskey in a single swallow.
I shall leave you to it, then. Please accept the bottle as a mark of our thanks. It isn't every day one houses a hero. We are honored, sir, just honored to have you here.
Reed lay so still and so tense he might have grown roots beneath this bed. Jaw clenched, he glared at the slats overhead without blinking as Monsieur Laurent showed himself from the room, and Jean-Luc closed the door once more. The key clicked in the lock. Reed didn't move for a second, clearly grappling with his desire to flee from me and his desire to hide from Jean-Luc forever. I studied his rigid profile in the backlight. I suppose it hurt to hear Monsieur Laurent's reverence for the person he used to be, the person he could never be again. Jean-Luc held that honor now, though truthfully, if he kept hiding witches under his bed, that privilege wouldn't be his for much longer either. Unable to help it, I brushed a lock of copper hair from Reed's forehead. He doesn't know.
Who doesn't know what? He snapped.
The innkeeper. He doesn't know who he has here. When he shook his head, disgusted, at me, at himself, at the entire situation, I said firmly, he doesn't know what heroism means.
And you do?
He turned to sneer at me.
Are you a hero, Louise LeBlanc?
No, but you are. Though he pushed my hand away, he still didn't move to leave.
I used to be. Now I'm hiding under a bed with a witch. Did you know I was found in the garbage?
When I said nothing, he scoffed, shaking his head again.
Of course you did. You know everything about me, don't you?
His eyes blazed with emotion in this small, shadowed sanctuary, and a sanctuary it was.
Here, cramped and hidden from the rest of the world, we could have been the only two people alive.
Then you know I grew up lost. I grew up alone. They called me Trash Boy, and I fought tooth and nail for respect. I bloodied noses and broke bones to get it, and I killed the one person who called me family. Does that sound like a hero to you?
A lump rose in my throat at his expression. He could have been that lost, lonely little boy all over again. Reed. Beau's head popped under the bed.
What are you two whispering about under here?
As if I'd lit a match in his trousers, Reed surged away from me, up and out of sight. Beau watched him go with a startled expression before extending a hand to me. In his other, he held the neck of the whiskey bottle.
Any luck with the seduction?
None, thanks to you.
I have to protect my investment. But his memories...
I frowned. Coco thinks...
I know what Coco thinks.
He hooked an arm around my neck, pulling me closer. Reed watched us sullenly from the farthest corner of the room.
I want to know what you think. Wager aside, would you rather we focus on restoring his memories? I know we can't force him to reverse the pattern, but perhaps we could help him along.
The weight of his words settled heavy in my chest. A choice. He'd offered me a choice, free of judgment or disapproval, free of guidance. He'd led me to a fork in the road, and he now waited patiently for me to step left or right. He would follow whatever direction I chose. Except, I glanced at Reed. He'd already made a choice, a stupid choice, but a choice nonetheless. He'd stepped without consulting me, but he'd obviously thought it necessary. Had it been necessary? Morgane had forgotten me, yes, but she hadn't forgotten her wrath against the church and crown. The kingdom was in more danger now than ever.
I'll find you, Lou. I promise.
I feigned a smile and flicked Beau's nose.
Don't think you're getting out of our wager. I'd never dream of it, sister mine.
Still speaking low, he released me with a wink and a grin of his own, our understanding implicit, and wagged the bottle of whiskey in my face.
Perhaps an olive branch, just for tonight? I don't much feel like sleeping.
Snatching the bottle, I downed a gulp. The whiskey burned all those unspoken words from my tongue, all the fear and doubt and restlessness. I swallowed another.
Nor I. Now who's whispering?
Reed grumbled. We both looked to Jean-Luc, who'd thrown his coat on the dressing table. I lifted my voice and the bottle simultaneously.
What about you, dear captain? Can we tempt you? I'm going to bed. Poison yourselves all you'd like.
I lifted a hand to my mouth, addressing Beau in a mock whisper.
He doesn't want to play.
Jean-Luc paused in pulling back the quilt.
Play what?
Truth or dare? Batting my lashes, I took another long pull before handing the bottle to Beau.
Just a couple of questions to pass the time until we fall asleep.
Until you pass out, you mean?
He flicked the quilt back and began to climb beneath it.
No, thank you.
That's probably for the best. I leaned into Beau conspiratorially, my limbs already pleasantly warm. He chuckled in response, a sturdy and familiar presence at my side, an anchor against my riotous thoughts.
You know everything about me, don't you? They called me Trash Boy.
I've been spending lots of time with Celie lately, so I have all sorts of juicy secrets I might have let slip.
He lurched up instantly, then narrowed his eyes. Slowly, he sank back onto the bed.
I know what you're doing.
What do you mean?
I know what you're doing, he repeated, voice emphatic. And it isn't the reason why I've decided to humor you. Give me the bottle.
Beau slapped it in his outstretched hand, and his throat worked on an enormous swallow. Wiping his mouth, he handed it to Reed next.
You start.
Reed examined the bottle in distaste.
I'm not playing.
Oh, come on, Shas.
I rose to my tiptoes, clasping my hands together at my chest and swaying.
Please, I promise I won't make you measure your dick against Jean-Luc's.
Jean-Luc smirked.
Now that is for the best. I wouldn't want to embarrass anyone.
Spluttering, Reed's knuckles whitened on the bottle.
You can't.
He grimaced.
What are the rules? Rules are simple.
Beau plucked the bottle from his hand before draping himself across the end of the bed. I sank to the floor, still cackling with triumph, and curled my legs beneath me.
You choose a truth or you choose a dare. If you choose neither,
He lifted the whiskey meaningfully.
You drink. Sound fair?
Reed remained standing, crossing his arms and glaring down at us like some sort of pink-cheeked, vengeful god. I sort of liked it.
I'll go first.
Jean-Luc cleared his throat and rested his elbows on his knees. His light eyes found mine.
Lou, truth or dare?
Dare. His shoulders slumped. Clearly, I hadn't given the answer he'd wanted, and clearly he hadn't prepared a dare in advance. He waved a flippant hand.
I dare you to cut your hair with one of my knives.
I laughed and took a shot of whiskey without a word. My turn. Rubbing my hands together, I turned to Reed, then hesitated. This was my first real chance to woo him outside of our usual circumstances, outside of L'Eau Melancolique, the heist, the rooftop, outside of danger. I needed to make it count, yet every thought fled my mind as I stared at him. That suspicious gleam in his eyes, the clench of his jaw and the flex of his arms, he might as well have been impenetrable. Like Jean-Luc, he knew my game, and he didn't want to play. How had I wooed him in Caesarine? I racked my brain, trying and failing to remember. Trapped in Chasseur Tower, surrounded by my enemies, I'd been jagged and sharp and guarded most days, lashing out at the slightest provocation. I'd tried to embarrass him, demean him. I'd mostly succeeded in that endeavor, yet still he'd softened toward me. Still, I'd softened toward him. How? When? Already the whiskey slurred my thoughts, if not my words, eddying them into a single memory of warmth and nostalgia. There'd been a bathtub and a shared bed in Chasseur Tower, and there'd been books and plays and gowns. I fought a frustrated groan. Through the thin walls, Coco's snores echoed. She hadn't yet trained me in the subtle art of seduction, if such a thing existed. I hadn't needed it before. He'd simply loved me, despite everything, and that love had led him to this heinous choice to forget me, to save me. I would honor it. It wasn't as if I could reverse the pattern anyway. Even as La Dame des Sorcières, if he couldn't remember our past, I would forge a new future, and I sealed the promise with another swig. Truth or dare, Reed? He didn't miss a beat.
Dare.
Shrugging, I pointed the bottle at him.
I dare you to strip naked and dance the bourrée while we watch, I added swiftly when he moved toward the door.
I couldn't help my grin.
He'd always been unexpectedly quick. Not out in the hallway.
He scowled and halted mid-step.
Truth. Tell me how you're feeling in this exact moment. Give me the bottle.
He seized it before I could protest, and I smothered my disappointment. Perhaps this was better. Alcohol was its own sort of truth. With a few more shots, he'd become a plethora of information.
Well, this is going to get ugly early, Beau mused. I should like to go next. Louise, darling.
He flashed me a charming smile.
Truth or dare, and please pick truth.
I rolled my eyes.
Truth.
He gave a feline grin.
Who is the most attractive person here? Be honest, mind you, or it's two drinks.
Winking lewdly, I extended my entire arm toward Reed, condemning him with a finger.
That man there, the copper-haired fellow, he's the one.
Reed scowled and interrupted immediately.
My turn. Lou, what is your deepest fear?
You didn't ask truth or dare, I pointed out. His scowl deepened.
Truth or dare?
Dare.
I dare you to answer my question.
I chuckled and sat back, crossing my feet at the ankles, unexpectedly quick. Still, his question itself left much to be desired. Of course he'd try to weaponize a game. Of course he'd press every advantage to weaken me. Well, tough shit, buddy.
It used to be death, I said conversationally. But a quick chat with our dear friend Ansel changed that. He's thriving, by the way.
All three of the men stared at me with slack jaws. Beau, in particular, seemed to blanch.
He spoke with me in L'Eau Melancolique. He'd been following us the entire time, you know. What?
Beau asked incredulously.
How?
He was a white dog.
Oh, good lord.
Beau fell back against the quilt, pinching the bridge of his nose.
You mean the white dog? I thought he was an ill omen.
At my snort, he exclaimed.
He was always there when calamity struck.
Probably to warn you.
I didn't realize that he'd... I haven't seen him since.
He swallowed hard.
What happened to him?
He found peace. The room fell silent at my gentle words, and I stared intently at my hands, knitting them together in my lap. But he also made me realize I don't fear death at all. Or at least it isn't the dying itself that I fear. It isn't the pain. It's the parting with my loved ones forever. I looked up. But I'll see him again. We all will. Reed looked as though I'd struck him across the face. He remembered Ansel too then, if only as an initiate. He remembered his death. Perhaps he just hadn't expected I would mourn, that I'd be capable of such deep feeling for another person. Me, a witch. I cleared my throat.
I believe it's your turn, Jean-Luc.
He immediately looked to Beau.
Truth or dare?
Truth.
Did Celie mention me on your travels?
Yes.
He turned to Reed without expounding on the answer, despite Jean-Luc's vehement protests.
Truth or dare?
Dare.
Another grin, this one harder.
I dare you to magic that copper hair blue.
Reed's face flushed puce.
I can't. How dare you?
Compartmentalization isn't healthy, brother. You saw your face on that wanted poster with the naughty W word, yet I don't think you've acknowledged it.
He arched a brow in challenge.
Denial is the first stage of grief.
Truth,
Reed said through gritted teeth.
Yes, it is.
Beau leaned forward earnestly.
Why can't you stop looking at our lovely Louise?
If possible, Reed's face flushed deeper. It looked physically uncomfortable now, the amount of blood in his cheeks. I started giggling.
Because I want to kill her.
Beau wagged a reproving finger before tapping the bottle in Reed's hand.
A lie means two.
When Reed furiously swallowed two shots, without hesitation, without denying his falsehood, an entirely different kind of warmth cracked open in my chest, flowing through my limbs. I sat up on my knees, bouncing with exhilaration. The room swirled with a lovely, rosy hue.
Truth or dare, Jean-Luc?
He didn't even pretend to be interested.
Truth.
Do you regret what happened on Motornet?
A beat of silence passed. Reluctantly, his eyes flicked to Reed, who looked downright murderous now, or downright nauseous. Still, he didn't interrupt the game, and the sudden sharpness in his own eyes betrayed his interest. He wanted to know this truth. He wanted to know it very much. After a moment, Jean-Luc scrubbed a hand down his face and muttered,
"Yes and no. I don't regret following orders. The rules exist for a reason. Without them, we have chaos, anarchy."
He heaved a sigh, not looking at anyone now.
"But I do regret the rules themselves."
Dropping his hand, he asked Reed,
"Truth or dare?"
"Truth."
"Is your heart still with the chasseurs?"
They stared at each other for another long moment. I leaned forward eagerly, holding my breath, while Beau pretended not to listen and hung on every word. Reed tore his gaze away first, breaking the silence.
"Is yours?"
Jean-Luc leaned over and plucked the whiskey from his hand. After swallowing, he climbed to his feet and handed me the bottle on his way out.
"I think I'm done for the night."
The door clicked shut behind him.
"And then there were three,"
Beau murmured, still toying with the edge of the quilt. He winked at me abruptly.
"I dare you to lick the bottom of my shoe."
Another half hour of antics ensued. The dares from Beau and me grew more and more ridiculous. Serenade us, do four cartwheels, curse like a sailor for 20 seconds straight. While the questions grew more personal. "What's the grossest thing you ever had in your mouth to come out of your body?" Until Reed was good and thoroughly drunk. He staggered over to me at his next turn, crouching down and dropping a heavy hand on my shoulder. Grayish light tinged the window. His voice slurred.
"What's the biggest lie you've ever told?"
I might have snorted whiskey from my nose. "I never told you I was a witch. In Chassel Tower, you never knew."
"That's stupid. How could I not have known?"
"An excellent question."
"Lou, my darling sister."
Beau flung an arm over his face in a truly dramatic fashion, still lounging on the bed.
You must tell me. Do Coco and I stand a chance?
Of course you do. She's head over heels for you. Anyone can see that.
Does she see that?
He peered at me through bleary eyes. The bottle in his hand held an alarming amount of whiskey now, which was to say, not much at all.
She called me Ansel, you know, the other day. She didn't mean it, of course, but it just sort of slipped.
He began to tip the bottle over the quilt, but I crossed the room and snatched it from him just in time.
Out. She'd been laughing at a joke I made.
He looked up at me suddenly, his gaze sharper and clearer, calmer.
She has a lovely laugh, doesn't she? I love her laugh.
Gently, I pressed him back against the pillow.
You love more than her laugh, Beau.
His lashes fluttered.
We're all going to die, aren't we?
No. I pulled the blanket to his chin, tucking it around him. But I dare you to tell her anyway.
Tell her...
His voice drifted on an enormous yawn.
What?
That you love her. He laughed again as his eyes finally closed, and his body succumbed to sleep. And then there were two. I turned to face Reed, startled to find him directly behind me. His eyes fixed on mine with a deep, unsettling intensity that hadn't been there before.
Truth or dare?
Butterflies erupted in my belly as he stepped closer still. Heat washed across every inch of my skin. Truth. He shook his head slowly. I swallowed hard. Dare.
Kiss me.
My mouth parted without volition as I looked up at him, as I saw that primal fascination in his eyes. But even through the fugue of alcohol, of keen, desperate want, I forced myself back a step. He followed intently. His hand lifted to cradle the nape of my neck. Reed, you don't... You're drunk. The tips of his boots met my bare toes.
What is this between us?
A lot of alcohol.
I feel like I know you.
You did know me once. I shrugged helplessly, struggling to breathe at his proximity, at his heat. This glint in his eyes. He hadn't looked at me like this since before the beach. Not on the horse. Not on the bridge or in the treasury. Not even beneath this very bed. My gaze darted to the whiskey in my hand, and that heat in my belly felt more like nausea now. Alcohol is its own form of truth. But now you don't. His hand edged to the side of my throat, and his thumb brushed my jaw.
We were... romantic?
Yes.
Then why are you frightened?
I clutched his wrist to prevent his thumb from moving to my lips. Every instinct in my body raged against me. Every instinct craved his touch. Not like this. Because this isn't real. You'll wake up with a throbbing headache in a couple of hours and you'll want to kill me all over again.
Why?
Because I'm a witch.
You're a witch.
He repeated the words slowly, languidly, and I couldn't help it. I leaned into his palm.
And I know you.
When he swayed on his feet, my own hand shot to his waist, steadying him. He leaned down to bury his nose in my hair and inhaled deeply.
I've never been drunk before.
I know.
You know me?
I do.
Truth or dare?
Truth. His fingertips traced my scar and he leaned lower, brushing his nose along the curve of my neck and shoulder.
Why do you have roses on your throat?
I clung to him helplessly. My mother disfigured me with hate. Coco transformed me with hope. He paused then, drawing back slightly to look at me. A nameless emotion shadowed his gaze as it flicked from my scar to my lips.
Why do you smell so sweet?
Though pressure built behind my eyes, I ignored it, hoisting one of his arms over my shoulders. He would collapse soon. Clumsy with alcohol, his movements lacked their typical grace, lacked even basic coordination, and he continued to sway on his feet. Fervently, I prayed he wouldn't remember any of this tomorrow. I shouldn't have let him drink so much. Pain spiked through my right temple. I shouldn't have drunk so much. With slow, heavy footsteps, I lugged him across the room toward the bed. What do I smell like, Reed? His head fell upon my shoulder.
Like a dream.
When I deposited him carefully beside Beau, his entire leg spilling free from the mattress, his hand caught my own and lingered there, even after his eyes had fluttered shut.
You smell like a dream.